It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, November 23rd. I'm Patricia Naft. The U.S. Forest Service recently finished its environmental impact statement on the roadless rule exemption. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
It's the latest development in the conflict between national forest and coal mining that dates back to the 1990s. The Clinton administration implemented a ban on developing in roadless areas, areas completely undeveloped. The preceding Bush administration sought to overturn that, and during the regulatory shuffle, Colorado instituted its own rule. Nested in that rule was an exemption, specifically carving out an area in the North Fork Valley that would allow development, that is, until recently.
That was actually thrown out by the court in litigation that was brought by Wild Earth Guardian.
That's Mark Squillaci. He teaches at the University of Colorado's Law School.
It was thrown out because of the government's failure to analyze the climate impacts associated with the exemption.
Now the Forest Service is back, having factored climate change into their EIS. Things could go back to normal, and Arch Coal's lease expansion could be reapproved. But some other factors might change that timeline. For one, Wild Earth Guardians, or some other environmental group, may try to stop further approval at one of the many legal junctures between now and actual expansion. Another is if Arch Coal will still be interested in expanding. Analysts expect that after poor investments and a weak market, Arch Coal will soon file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The Forest Service has also been considering changing their entire coal leasing process. For right now, things are moving forward for the coal mines, but nothing is certain. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Some Colorado counties are conflicted about pay raises for elected officials. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
A new state law allows counties to boost the salaries of elected officials by 30%. The changes won't go into effect until 2019.
At this point, Mesa County cannot afford such an increase for elected.
Commissioner Rose Puglisi says the county is facing a $3 million budget deficit next year.
We are looking at the future sustainability of our current organization and trying to keep all of our employees. And so at this time, taking a pay raise is not appropriate.
The Mesa County Board of Commissioners recently voted against pay hikes. Delta County hasn't decided what it's going to do yet. County Commissioner Bruce Hufte says sales tax were essentially flat this year, limiting growth.
We are telling everybody to hold their budget as is, as to what it was last year. I personally don't see how we could justify it.
The measure also gives lawmakers and statewide elected officials a 30% pay bump. Democratic Representative Millie Hamner co-sponsored the bipartisan bill last session.
Basically, our county elected officials statewide had not received any raise, not even a cost of living increase since 2007.
Hamner says state lawmakers realize not all counties can pay for it. That's why she's working on a companion bill.
Now up to this next piece of legislation to clarify in which category of raise the counties want to be. So, for example, if the county feels like they can't afford those kinds of raises, they have the opportunity to lower the raise from 30% to 20% or 10% or zero.
She plans to introduce the measure when the legislative session starts in January. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Officials in Mesa County are warning about an increase in novavirus reports. Commonly called the stomach flu, novavirus isn't particularly dangerous, but it is extremely contagious. Renee Landry with the Mesa Health Department says that anyone with the disease should try to limit exposure.
People who have symptoms of norovirus, and that's vomiting, diarrhea, nausea, and also abdominal cramps, that you stay home for 48 hours after your symptoms have stopped because you're still considered contagious and you can be spreading the virus even though your symptoms have disappeared.
The health department also advises that any children with the symptoms be kept at home as well. Several posts on icchange.org documented the first frost and snowfall for the Western Slope. Their timing can affect a lot more than skiing. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Harvest is done on the Western Slope. All the cherries, peaches, apples, and pears have been picked and sold, and now frost and snow has settled in. Over at IC Change, several people were keeping track of this long growing season and the turn to winter. Amber Kleiman in Paonia noticed the first snowfall of this year a few days later than the past few years. Marilyn Stone, also of Paonia, noticed the snowfall and thought it might be a little late. Doug Fritz in Hotchkiss noticed the first frost in late October, remarking that it was an incredibly long growing season. and he's definitely onto something. I talked with Zach Schwalbe with the Colorado Climate Center. They collect data from stations all over the state, including Paonia.
So the average growing season is 153 days with data going back to 1958, and this year we had a 183-day growing season.
30 days longer than average, but not the longest. There was 192 days between freezes in the summer of 1987. Looking at the data from the 1950s shows that climate and weather on the western slope has been swingy. Schwalbe does say, though, that overall, we're seeing more time between spring and fall freezes, longer growing periods.
30 years ago, the last frost in the spring was the first week in May. Now it's, on average, about the middle of April.
That's Ron Godin. He's a soil and crop scientist for the Colorado State University Extension in nearby Delta. He also noticed changes in Delta. Out by him, he's seen additional 2 weeks on either end of the season. That's some good news for growers.
We might be able to plant varieties that take longer to ripen. Like Gala apples, they ripen fairly early. But Fujis are a long season apple, and they take a lot longer to ripen. Maybe with one more month of the growing season, we may be able to ripen Fuji apples eventually.
That could open up new markets for growers. Grain farmers, too, could see higher yields with more time. Invariably with climate change, though, there are downsides. Godin says that with some extra time, insects can breed one more time, creating an extra generation of pests.
Coddling moth is a good example. In a really warm year that starts early, we may get three, or in some places, four generations of coddling moth, and that's the worm in the apple. In a shorter, typical growing season, we only get like 2.5 or 3. So we'd have an extra generation of insects.
There's also the problem of freezes in the spring, catching early flowers off guard, like what happened this year. More time growing for plants also means more time sucking up water, something that will be a challenge, he says, for an area already so dry. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.